When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
And that five some Barry, Nugent Hopkins, Dreisaitl, Hyman down low, Dreisaitl back door. What timer score? The fifth man on that unit, Connor McDavid, buries the power play goal to make it 5-0. Drills seem to be working, Bob, whether it be in practice or in a game.
Welcome to Edmonton. Here's a six pack. Six goals tonight by the Edmonton Oilers as they pound the Seattle Kraken in preseason action. First ever visit by the Kraken to Rogers Place, and they'll be happy that it didn't count in the standings. All Edmonton tonight, three goals in the first period, two in the second, and one more in the third. The power play looking very good. Connor McDavid with some dazzling plays, and Brendan Perlini scores twice. He has three in two preseason games. He's one of the guys trying to crack the Oilers roster, and so far so good for him. Thanks a lot for joining us. 10 o'clock. Hey, if you're in the building tonight, great to see you, even though you were just a little speck from where Rob and I sit up top. But it was awesome to have fans in Rogers Place and hear actual live reactions to some of the goals, hits, saves, the shootout that was done for practice at the end of the game. The Oilers won that too, by the way. So 6-0, the Oilers win. 10-0. They've outscored their opponents in two preseason games, and they didn't even surrender a goal in that practice shootout at the end of the game. Koskinen went 5-for-5 against the Seattle Shooters. Well, Rob, first of all, just from a general perspective, we had a pretty good sense this might be a nice offensive night for the Oilers coming into this game. Before we talk about Perlini and some of the other stories, the Stars did what you would expect them to do against the lineup Seattle had.
Well, when you're playing against the Edmonton Oilers, you're trying to match a line and you're trying to match your best defensive pairing against Connor. And the Seattle Kraken didn't have those players in their lineup tonight. And when the best that they could send out there tonight wasn't on the ice, there was a huge mismatch. I mean, Connor and his line mates sometimes were out against guys that will be playing in the American Hockey League, and it at times it didn't look fair. Connor McDavid's a guy that wants to play every game. He'd love to be in every exhibition game. And players at this time of year want to get in just to get a feel for the game, create some chemistry, try to get their touch back. It looked like he and his line mates have been playing all summer together. It's almost like they rented ice and were on the ice twice a day for the last 2 months. Connor looked in midseason form. He and Hyman had chemistry instantly, and Puljujärvi was making nice plays. We saw a lot last year, especially when Connor and Leon were together and Puljujärvi was out there, that Puljujärvi just drove the middle and he got in front of the net and he created havoc that way. Tonight, you saw him with the puck on his stick a little bit more. He looked more confident even than he did last year when he had a fantastic season. Made a wonderful play on the Hyman goal. He set that all up, getting the puck to McDavid, who goes back door. So yeah, the Stars for the Oilers tonight. We thought it would be a mismatch against the Kraken, and it certainly was.
McDavid with a goal and two assists. Puljujärvi with a goal and an assist. Nugent Hopkins had an assist. Dreisaitl had an assist. Hyman a goal and an assist. Nurse a goal and an assist. So those guys all over the score sheet and dangerous even on opportunities that didn't go in the net tonight. Now, significant for the Oilers, Brendan Perlini scores twice, both on heavy shots, both from distance, and he also scored Sunday against the Calgary Flames. So, Rob, does he greatly elevate his chances? Does he keep himself afloat and earn more games? How do you look at this?
Well, in all honesty, the Oilers, everyone that's not in their top nine are fighting for three spots on their fourth line, because the top nine on this team is already set. So Perlini's looking to be a left winger on your fourth line. And there's a lot of guys still in the mix for that. So you're battling probably with five, six different players to be in your bottom three. Perlini had to come in and separate himself, because I believe he was probably fairly low on the depth chart because they got guys with a little more experience. They got guys that have been in the NHL lately. They got a prospect in Benson who they've put in, what, three, four, 5 years into to try to get him to this level. So he would be the outsider coming in. And he's been very, very good. The Oilers have not had depth scoring for a long, long time. Perlini looks like a guy that's capable of doing that. He's scored in the National Hockey League before. A guy like Shore, who looked very good again tonight, playing with Perlini. They're making plays, but yeah, I believe Perlini has put himself in the mix and is right now at the top of that. But what you're going to see, and this is my guess, what do the Oilers play? They have 8 exhibition games. Is that what it is?
Yeah, 6 left.
I would imagine a Perlini would probably play 6 of those at least, because they like what they've seen. But a player that is usually out of the league, or a player that's up and down from the minors, the thing that is usually missing in his game is consistency. So they've seen now in 2 games, Perlini has the skill set, the ability to be a factor in an NHL hockey game. But is he going to be a factor in 40 games, or is it going to be 50, or is it 60, 70, 80? How many games could we get out of him where he's effective as a hockey player for us? So you're going to see him more and more in exhibition to see, okay, you've given us 2 good games. Can you give us 3, 4, 5, 6? But it's been a very good start for him. And of all the guys in the bottom 6 that are fighting for that one of the fourth line spots, I believe him and Shore have been the 2 best players.
Well, and I thought Shore made a nice pass.
Oh, it was a beautiful pass.
Because that's one of those you think he's going to fire it away because he's in the slot, but he one touches it back very quickly. And we saw, and look, Shore will be a depth guy, but we saw little glimpses of him last year when he can make a nice play with the puck.
Yeah, we know that the coaching staff has confidence in him. We saw different parts of the year last year where in important situations, there was someone that was pulled off of a line and Shore was put up. On the goal that he made, both players made smart plays on it. The puck comes to Shore. He just a little hesitation with the puck that got the goaltender to bite and move the defensive stick out of position so that he can make the pass back. And Perlini, a lot of times when you make that pass to a guy in the slot, you get caught watching because you think, okay, that guy, he's going to shoot. He's going to put the puck on net. But Perlini didn't do that. He got cocked and ready. So that when the puck came back and it was a perfect pass, it's a one-timer into the net. And again, just hit the net on a one-timer. Yeah, Shore was good. He's been flying all over the place. He's looked very confident out there. To me, I see Shore right now as your starting number 4 center for the Edmonton Oilers after what I've seen for the 2 games. He's got the experience, and that puts him possibly a little ahead of McLeod in the center ice role in the fourth line.
6-0, the Oilers win it tonight. Ryan McLeod played tonight as well, played 13-12, didn't register a shot on goal. Tough night in the faceoff circle. He went 2-for-8. Tyler Benson was in this game. He played 12-19, had 1 shot, so a lot of jockeying going on. Shore with a good night in the faceoff circle. He went 11-15 for 73%. Didn't they? 4 goaltenders have played for the Oilers. They have not allowed a goal. Mike Smith, 18 saves on 18 shots tonight. And he was actually good early. I mean, the Kraken, the first 8 minutes was probably the best part of the game for them, and then Koskinen came in, he made 16 saves.
Well, in the Calgary game the other night, you and I don't count grade A scoring chances, but if just thinking back through that game, I remember one save in that game where the Calgary Flames had a chance to score a goal, and it was late in the game on a 2-on-1. That was the only time I thought a goaltender made a save. Tonight, both goaltenders for the Oilers were tested. Mike Smith early. Seattle was better in the first 7-8 minutes of this hockey game. They came out, they worked hard, created chances, and Smith had to make a number of saves. One, there's a weird bounce off the backboard. He had to come back and dive and make a save on an open net. Smith was good, and then Koskinen, he had 2 saves later in the game, which were probably the best 2 saves of the night. So, you gotta, if you're a coaching staff and you're like, okay, now where do we go from here? We've scored 10 goals in 2 games. We've given up 0. Apparently what we put in place here in training camp is working. The coaching staff's got to be very, very excited of what they've seen thus far in the preseason. Now it's just a matter of carrying it on.
6-0, the Oilers win it. They will be back at it in Winnipeg tomorrow. 4:30 faceoff show here on 6:30 Ched with the game at 6. Warren Fogle and Zach Cassian expected to play in that game. 2 of the veterans here who are going to be on the team who have yet to get into preseason action. And we saw Zach Hyman, and we've seen him play before. One of those players, Rob, and you were sort of referencing this with Bob, that you notice. And we often talk about all the little ways you can impact a game without scoring. Scoring is the ultimate thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to score, you got to get goals. But in most games, most players will not score. No, we expect Hyman to get some points, but you know, puck retrieval, body positioning, battling. I mean, even on the penalty that he took, he almost scored a split second before he hacked the guy down when he was trying to get the puck back. So, you know, again, high expectations for Hyman, jumps in the preseason. But I thought good. You know, I saw what I was hoping to see.
Yeah, he looked exactly like what we've seen when he played for the Leafs against the Oilers. To me, the majority of the games that when Edmonton played against Toronto, Hyman was the best player on the ice for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he brought that exact same energy here tonight. I'm looking forward. That's probably the most excited player I am to watch this year for the Edmonton Oilers, to see what Zach Hyman can do with Connor McDavid.
All right, 6-0. The Oilers win it. You can get us at 780-496-0063. But first, here's head coach Dave Tippett.
You know, there's some good, some bad. We got work on our power play a little bit. Got to have a look at, you know, the new line up top. We got some guys that are, you know, they're in competition for jobs. They're, you know, doing what they can do to get noticed. We got some young players that are finding their way. The goaltenders have all played well. I mean, they four guys have played half a game each, and they've all played really well. So, yeah, it's some things that you like, but there's parts of it that you can tell it's still exhibition.
Sure. Brendan Perlini with three goals in two games, a guy that you know in the past. What have you thought of his?
He's been good. I mean, he's trying to get his career back in order. He's playing like a hungry player, and one of his greatest attributes is he shoots the puck a ton, and that's what he's doing, you know, right now. So getting some opportunities to shoot. So you know, he's playing for his life right now, and it's good to see a guy giving everything he's got.
It seems like he's found a little bit of chemistry with, I know it's early, but with those line mates, and you've had in there for games. You must have liked that line, I imagine, correct?
No, they were good. I mean, Shorzy's another guy that's really playing well. You know, and Turris is trying to get his game going. So, you know what it is? You got veteran guys. You know, all three of those guys, and Pearls is, you know, he's got a couple hundred games where they're veteran guys that they like the life in the NHL. They like to play in the NHL. And they know they got to win a job. And when you have an idea what the life is like in the NHL and play in this league, it's worth fighting for. And they're fighting for a job right now.
And what did you think of your two younger forwards in McLeod and Benson tonight?
They were solid too. I mean, I thought our whole group was solid all the way through.
Are you getting pretty much what you expected out of Hyman? I mean, playing with McDavid can look easy, but not everybody can fit in and produce like he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first game, but in practice you see it. You know, Hyman is he's an ultimate worker, right? He gets around, mucks around, and finds pucks, and I think it'll work well with Connor, because if he can find some pucks and get them to Connor can make things happen. That's, you know, the Hyman's goal is a perfect example of that. They dig out a puck, Jesse makes a good play, Connor makes a good play, and it's a tap in for Hyman. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come.
You didn't just add players, you kind of added a dimension to the team with the offseason moves, some leadership, some grit, every question you preface is it's only the second game, but are you seeing that come to fruition here?
Well, I think the guys, with the players we've added, you know, the leadership group recognize that we've added some grit to our team, and we have to do that if we want to take another step. So I think the players in that room recognize where we are, and expectations continue to go up. Everybody wants to take another step forward. So when you bring some new guys in that are of that mode, you know, the players that have been here recognize that and are enthused.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, one sec.
Tip, you've talked a lot about you wanted to see your penalty kill. Mm-hmm. Didn't give up a goal, but obviously Seattle didn't have like their normal power play guys. What did you make of just the guys implementing your system?
You know what? We'll see. I'll go back and just kind of watch the details of it. There's, you know, we're trying some people in there that there's, you know, Shores, he's got some experience at it, but there's just certain things, kind of triggers that we look for, go at a certain time, and when you haven't done it enough, it you know, you got to get a little more rhythm in it. You know, there's a certain place you got to put sticks at different times and things like that that they'll learn. So we'll continue to kind of harp on those details and use a few guys. A guy like Seabury, you can tell he's killed a lot in the league before. There's certain things that he'll do that, you know, you can kind of recognize as a veteran guy. But McLeod and Benson got a bunch of killing tonight, and I'll go and look at it, but they were fine. We're trying to get Hyman and Nuge maybe as a pair. We'll see how that goes.
From your kind of live impressions, what were your thoughts on Bouchard on the PK?
He's been solid. His whole game's solid. Like, he's going to be fine. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Oilers head coach Dave Tippett after Edmonton scores a 6-0 preseason win over the Seattle Kraken. You're going to hear from some of the Oilers players, and we want to hear from you, especially if you were back in the building tonight. Give us a buzz and let us know what it was like. 780-496-0063. We'll call a quick timeout. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Okay, back inside Rogers Place, where some of you were tonight. The Edmonton Oilers cruise to a 6-0 preseason win over the Seattle Kraken. Smith and Koskinen share the shutout. Brendan Perlini scores twice as he continues to impress. Rob, I liked how Tippett described Hyman. We were talking about him before we went to the postgame there. What did he call him? He's the ultimate worker. He gets in there and he mucks around.
Well, and it's true, and he talked about on the goal that he scored, it all started with him on a good forecheck that created a turnover that allowed the skilled players that he plays with to make plays. And then what does he do? He goes hang around the blue paint. He's, again, being a former player, there's certain guys that you admire, and there's the superstars that you think, okay, look at the God-given talent they have, but there's also the players that they get every ounce of what they've their ability, and Hyman's one of those guys. He just does everything right. There's not, you look at his game, okay, well, this guy can do that, but he's not as good here. This guy's got a great shot, but he's not so good in the back check. Well, Hyman does it all, and that's why good players, great players like playing with a Hyman, because it creates so much more space. He creates chaos in the offensive zone with his forecheck. That allows the offensive players, the skilled players, to come in and make their plays. So Hyman is a great, great addition to the Edmonton Oilers, and it allows them to have two first lines and allows Connor and Leon to center their own lines. And I think Connor is going to have a fantastic year, and I believe Hyman is going to have some career highs playing with Connor McDavid.
All right, 780-496-0063. We will welcome Christian to the show. Christian, you're on with Robin Reed. Go ahead.
Hey, Robin Reed. Yeah, I was at the game today. Just wanted to say the Oilers played well. The goalies were great. So, yeah, if they're playing like that, we should have a good year. And, yeah, Hyman looked amazing out there. And even just seeing Yamamoto and he was battling with Oleksiak, that was pretty, you know, different to watch. You know, 5-6 versus, I think, 6-5. So, yeah, but, yeah. Good energy in the building today. Was really excited to be back there.
How was it getting in? I had some people asking me.
Yeah,
I don't know because I'm not in the lines. What was it like getting in?
Yeah, I mean, the vet, you know, you had to go through, you had to show your vaccine card and everything, but it moved pretty smoothly. Like, it took me maybe 10 minutes to get from the back of the line to actually in my seat. So it was pretty good for what I thought. Like, it was a long lineup, but they moved us pretty quickly and had it organized pretty good. So, yeah,
couldn't complain. Don't mind me asking, are you a season ticket holder?
I am not, no.
Okay, but obviously you felt, you came to the game, so you felt comfortable coming and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they put everything in place, and I mean, yeah, it was pretty good. I had no complaints. I felt comfortable in the arena.
Any Oilers player surprise you or one of the depth guys stand out for you tonight?
I'd probably just say that Turris, Shore, Perlini line, like that was, they really, like you could tell they had a lot of energy, like the top guys always, but those three, they really, especially Perlini, he, you know, that excitement after that first goal, like you could just see it in his face and he was going for the hat trick and I was ready to throw my hat, but yeah, it was good to see.
Right on. Christian, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you again.
No problem.
That's Christian, 780-496-0063. Turris, another interesting name in this mix for me too, Rob. You know, it went so poorly for him last season. You know, we knew that maybe adjusting to a third-line center role might be a tough transition with face-offs and checking, but I certainly thought the points would be there at least to some extent, but he didn't really have much offense either. He's trying to play the wing this season, and as you get into the regular season, that's going to require a level of grinding and body positioning and all those types of things that maybe he hasn't always exhibited in his career. He did work on some of that strength stuff in the summer, so we'll see if it pays off for him.
Yeah, it's funny. He's got probably the best resume of all the players looking for a spot on the fourth line, and most people don't have him even close to being there. They have him probably lowest on the depth chart. But in the two games he's played, he has looked fine. He has, I think tonight he had a couple assists tonight. I might be wrong, but I thought he had one the other night in Calgary too. And again, if he's on your fourth line, he creates offense for you in a depth role. He's with the puck on his stick in the fourth line. He's good. Is he capable of getting pucks in, pucks out? Big face-offs defensively, because the fourth line, a lot of the times, they come out in defensive situations. Can you trust him at the end of a period? And I say that because as an offensive player, your mindset doesn't always go to defense first. I had to change in my career. I had to go from a top line player to a depth role player, and it's hard because when there's a bouncing puck, your first instinct was always to cheat and think the puck's going to bounce past, whereas a fourth line guy can't do that. He's got to play on the defensive side. He's got to be into good defensive positioning. I think he's been fine in the games he's played for the Oilers. I think he still is a long shot, but Dave Tippett said it best. He said that those guys are playing with desperation. They understand that there is nothing going to be given to them. They're going to have to earn a spot on this team. And if you played in the National Hockey League and then have left and played in the minors, or you've left and played in Europe, or you've been a healthy scratch, or you're going in on a PTO, you've lost all that entitlement and any arrogance you may have had before. Now you know how cool it is, or as Dave Tippett talked about how great a job it is playing in the National Hockey League, and you want to get back. So I think you're seeing those type of players that there is an absolute desperation in their game. Every shift they come on the ice, they know that they have to do something in a positive light in that shift if they want to be around here come October.
6-0, the Oilers win it tonight, 780-496-0063. We have Sir Robert on the line. Sir Robert, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I mean, you know what? I think, I'm going to say to start, I know Seattle didn't have what's going to be their full NHL lineup, their full opening night lineup. But what has me the most excited for this season, especially after watching tonight's game, would be that, like, you saw the instant chemistry that McDavid had with Hyman. I liked what I saw from Puljujärvi tonight. I liked what I saw tonight from Bouchard, Smith, and Koskinen, and Ned. I thought were good, and we didn't have like a hurdle between periods, and that didn't have a full goal or a Cassian in the lineup. So I think this bodes well. Kind of wondering what you guys were thinking, and then I have another thought quick thereafter.
Yeah, well, give us your thought quick now, Robert, and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, I guess my other thought is I think with having all the depth that we do have, the likes of a Fogel or a Cassian, I think this is a good problem that the Oilers now have, because now we have all these guys competing for jobs. I thought Perlini was great tonight. I personally think he's going to make the team. So I mean, I think they're going to have a great season. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Well, I mean, he touched on the depth, and that's been goal number one for Well, not just Ken Holland. I think we'd probably say several general managers because over the years, the Oilers have had some high-end offensive talent that didn't have a lot of... I mean, even before, you know, McDavid, I think, you know, Hall and Nugent Hopkins and Eberle got thrust into, you know, tough leadership positions, and there wasn't much else going on around them. And that's ultimately the goal. And he touched on Fogle and Cassian, who we haven't seen yet. And maybe those are two guys who might rotate into the top six as the season goes along, depending on what happens. But, yeah, I mean, like, to me, that you mentioned, Rob, that, to me, that's why Hyman is the biggest game changer and the player I would look forward to seeing the most. I interviewed Fogle during the intermission, and he said, yeah, I mean, I got to take the puck to the net hard, and I got to use my speed and draw penalties. And he kind of joked about the year he was drawing more penalties than McDavid. He also said after that he stopped getting as many calls, probably because now his name was out there and the refs weren't giving it. But still, I mean, that's the hope, you know, very early here into how it's going to be structured. Two good scoring lines, kind of a speedy Ryan's not big, but, you know, Ryan with a couple bigger guys who can skate on his wings, and there's your top nine.
Well, I think the Oilers are now at the point, and my personal thought is this is a perennial playoff hockey club. The problem for the Oilers the last few years is they get to the playoffs and the game changes. It's not the same type of hockey played come playoff time. It becomes a little dirtier, a little nastier. It's a little rougher. It's harder to score, not as much open ice out there. And the Oilers haven't got it done. So part of it has been, and having said that, their star players have still put up the production, but it just completely tailed off after that. And they didn't have, I don't know, jam. The team didn't have enough jam, didn't have enough physicality, didn't have enough abrasiveness, that when it got into those kind of games, the other team seemed to have just a little bit of an advantage. So Ken Holland went out and got players that played with jam, played with aggressiveness, and also that are capable of putting the puck in the net. And I remember, again, we talk about Hyman. Every time I watch Toronto play, you're always drawn to him. He's not the first guy you think of, but as the game goes on, you keep noticing him. Fogle was like that when I watched Carolina play, too. Just the way he played, you always noticed him because he was making the right plays. He didn't take shifts off. He understood what his role is, and he played it to a T. And again, he's fun to watch. So all of a sudden, the Oilers are getting some players that play in straight lines, that play with a physicality, that play without fear. That's what this team needs. And if now all of a sudden you're worrying about these players driving the net over and over again, they tire out the D. They tire out the other team with their forecheck. That just creates more opportunities for your star players. So the Oilers' depth thus far looks better. And we've seen in the past where the Oilers' bottom two lines, you're almost at the end of training camp or end of exhibition season, you're like, okay, well, this was the best of the worst. This
right.
is a guy.
These guys getting it by default.
Yeah, we have no other choice, so this guy's on the team. Well, there's just looking at the players that are competing right now, there's going to be one or two players that are not going to be with this organization come regular season that are good hockey players because the Oilers, for the first time, have depth players that they can play and be good and be players that can help this team going forward.
All right, we got to get into a quick news and weather update. Brenda, Rocket, and Robert are next in the batting order on the phone line. You're also going to hear from Hyman and Perlini. Oilers cruise tonight, 6-0 victory. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Eventually chases it down center. What a save made by Mikko Koskinen. Robbing Geeky point blank. That might be the best save of the night by an Edmonton goaltender.
Koskinen and Smith sharing the shutout tonight, combining for 34 saves. Oilers beat the Seattle Kraken 6-0 at Rogers Place. Oilers back at it in Winnipeg tomorrow, then in Everett, Washington on Friday to play the Kraken once again. We expected that this one could be something like this, given the lineups that the two teams were icing for this game. I did get a text from a bit of a wise guy earlier today who said, I think I see Rob Brown's name on the Kraken's lineup. He would help. I'm not going to identify him, but his name rhymes with Sason Drudrick.
Well, Struds has seen me play three puck in the mornings with their academies that we work out together. Struds, he finds me. I use my speed, my blazing speed, and he uses an incredible sauce pass. And in slow motion, we're able to create offense. No, I can't play for the Kraken. They're way too fast. I struggle right now with playing against my grade fives. They seem to be getting faster and faster every year. But the Kraken are a team that I think will compete for a playoff spot. I know that you guys talked before the game about them and talked about the fact that they're going to be good in net, although you didn't notice that tonight. They're solid on the back end. They're a team that's going to work hard. I played Dave Haxtell, the coach of the Kraken. I played with him somewhere in the minors. I can't remember if it was Kalamazoo or Indy, one of the two places. Very serious guy. He a wonderful work ethic, and I'm sure that's what you're going to see with this team, a team that just works hard. And as Jordan Eberle talked with you between periods, there's a little chip on your shoulder when you're on an expansion team, as you were all deemed expendable from the team that you were at before. So you kind of remember that, and you put it into your work ethic each and every night. So the Kraken, I do believe, will push for a playoff spot. But they're a team that's going to have to win games 2-1. It's not going to be any high-scoring goals with this team.
Updating the scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Well, it gets worse for the Edmonton Elks. They lose 34-24 in Ottawa. Ottawa has two wins on the season, both against Edmonton. The Elks fall to 2-5, and playoff hopes are quickly fading away. Blue Jays lost 7-2 to the Yankees. 780-496-0063. Brenda has given us a ring. Hey, Brenda, go ahead.
Say hi.
Hi.
How are you guys doing? We've sure missed you at Studio 99.
Well, thanks for that. I'm not sure if we're going to be back, at least in the short term, but we do appreciate you calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Just wanted to check in and see how you guys are doing. This is our first game back, and it was so exciting. We had a great time, and the fans were really into it, and it was nice to see Seattle play against our Oilers. And, you know, the opening part of the game with O Canada and everything, it was just amazing to see the smile on the Oilers' faces. They looked like they were excited and happy to have the fans back.
So, Brenda, are you a season ticket holder?
You better believe it. Actually, Barry and I are driving home right now. We're just passing Esso.
Okay, I know who this is. Well, nice to talk to you. Nice to talk to you again. You were on Inside Sports a few months ago. So tell me about the same thing I asked Christian earlier. Tell me about the process for you guys getting into the rink tonight. How did it go?
Well, we were fortunate. I booked into Studio 99, so we were there at 5 o'clock. The only thing is, well, they checked our COVID cards and our ID, but then we had a little bit of a glitch trying to get in with our mobile app, with the wallet app, and it didn't work. So we had to go back into our account manager, and then they had to scan our phone. And then once they got that figured out, it was good. Then I was kind of watching the crowds from up top, and it looked like it was going pretty good.
Good. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. And I know when you and I talked a few months ago, you know, you said you thought you would feel pretty comfortable just being back in a very large room with thousands of people. Did it feel okay once you got to your seat and everything?
You know what? It felt really good. Everybody was wearing their masks unless they were having a drink or something to eat. Everybody did really well. Like, you know, I have no complaints at all. Rogers Place did a really good job. But I have a question. Are you guys going to be there for opening night upstairs at Studio 99?
It sounds like we're going to be in the press box for the time being. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check and see where you guys were at.
Well, I do appreciate it, and you're welcome to call us after the game anytime, Brenda. It's good to talk to you.
Well, yeah, we're driving home, and we have to combine canola tomorrow, so...
Hey, do you need any help? I mean, Reed and I, we got nothing going on. I'm sure we'd be really good at that.
Tomorrow. Oh, do we? Tomorrow.
See, I wanted to combine. I've never done that.
Listen, you guys can come and combine, and I'll feed you guys. No problem.
Well, hey, I tell you, that sounds pretty good, Reed.
That's tempting. Brenda, safe trip.
I have a fridge in my combine, you know, so it would be no problem.
Well, I know what I'd be putting in that fridge anyway.
Yeah.
Brenda, appreciate it. All the best. See you soon.
Okay. See you guys. Bye.
It's Brenda, 780-496-0063 as the Oilers beat Seattle 6-0. Yeah, people don't want me anywhere near anything that requires, like, actual labor. Because I would hurt myself, hurt everybody else, and the job would not get done.
I don't know if I've ever really been on a... Well, I know I've never been on a combine.
I can drive a lawn tractor, but even that's since when we used to live north of Evansburg.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could do that either. Just a push lawnmower is tough for me some days. My father never taught me anything like that. So, but that'd be pretty cool. It's too bad we have a game tomorrow. We could have combined it.
Well, there's a listener that writes in sometimes. He goes by the handle Norman a Combine. He's pretty entertaining. He won something on Inside Sports a few weeks ago. He listens while he's in the combine.
That is pretty cool. Combines are pretty big by the sounds of it. She's got a fridge in hers.
Well, we probably could set up a studio in a combine.
We should actually do a game from a combine.
I'd love to do that.
It might be closer than the press box.
I don't know why. We might have a better view. I don't know. Some season we should do that. Like, why don't they just put us in wacky locations to do the shows?
Oh, I'm all for that.
All around the planet.
Well, not all around the planet. Let's start with Alberta. And then we can do it from other cities. Good call by you.
Yeah, we could be like at the top of Mount Everest. Again, that's pretty much our view, our height from the rink right now.
It would be close. I was thinking more like an island in Hawaii, but I mean, if you want to go to the top of Everest, that's cool too.
Well, we'd go that, all over the place.
That poor Sherpa that has to carry the two of us up there, though.
I don't think the Sherpa carries you. I think he guides you.
About 200 yards in, he'll be carrying me. Are you kidding me? Oh, look at poor Mr. Brown. We might have to carry him. He ain't making him much further.
That made me think. So you remember Ricky Ray, of course.
Yep.
So I interviewed him last week, and he's doing distance running, and he did one of those 50K, I don't know if it was actually called the death race, but one of those where the altitude climb change was 6,000 feet uphill over the course of the 50K.
Oh.
Yeah. Like you said, it took him like 7 hours.
Well, I can tell you this. It'd be a death race if I did it. It'd be the end of Rob Brown.
780-496-0063. Oilers win 6-0. We have Rocket calling in tonight. Hello, Rocket. Go ahead.
Reed, Rob Brown, welcome back, my friends. Glad to hear from both of you again. I swear to God, it's been a long time.
Well, you've called my show in the summer, Rocket, so we've talked.
Yeah, but not with Robbie.
It's good to hear from you.
Rob goes away in the summer and golfs.
All right. So, Reed, Evansburg, Alberta.
Yes.
Okay? Here's my best story. Early 80s, when the Oilers were winning Stanley Cups, I was booking comedians. Believe it or not, we actually did a show in Evansburg, Alberta, at the Evansburg Hotel.
Jeez.
Okay. Population 100. All 100 people came out to the Evansburg Hotel that night.
Well, the Evansburg had about 1,200
or
1,500.
Because, as you know, nothing happens in Evansburg. So, of course, they're all going to come out. I mean, I was putting up signs, like a missing person sign, on the main drag, and that was it. It was sold out. It took nothing to sell out that place. It was the best night ever, I swear to God.
Well, that's...
I remember the Evansburg Hotel, like the hotel itself, which is, don't call it hotel rooms, because you shared bathrooms, which were down the hall.
Well, that sounds incredible. Rocket, I appreciate the story, buddy. We'll talk hockey next time, okay? I got more people waiting. That was entertaining. Thank you very much. That is Rocket flashing back to the early 80s, 19 Evansburg. I would not have been old enough to go to that establishment at that time.
Seriously?
What? No, how old do you think I am? I wasn't born in the early 60s.
Well, I could go to a bar in the 80s, and I wasn't born in the early 60s either. I think I could. Yeah,
well,
I could go
to the late 80s, you could have. Yeah, early 80s, I couldn't have. Well, not legally, I guess I could have wandered in. I don't know what I would have been doing wandering the streets of Evansburg as a child. Well, actually, I do know. I probably would have been playing road hockey, but we lived out of town anyway. Oilers win 6-0 tonight. Could you tell it's a preseason blowout win?
Lot to talk about.
Yeah, they were good. They played well. They beat Seattle. By the way, I don't like these Seattle white jerseys. I like the blue ones. I don't like that the way the light blue looks on the white. We got to be critical of something.
I like the away uniforms better on most teams anyways, but I do like the Krakens. I like their name. I like the jerseys. I like their logo.
Logo's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they were completely thinking because they're going to be playing in the crack house and all their fans are going to be crackheads, so I'm not sure they were completely thinking about that.
I don't think that's that. How they're actually marketing it.
No, they haven't been? Oh. That's why I put my name in. I sent my resume in to be the PR guy, but those ideas didn't fly very well for them, so.
All right, 780-496-0063. Robert is on the line. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
I'm here and laughing. The crack house, right. Anyways, no kidding. First thing I initially thought about, everybody loves Hyman, and I do as well, and Bogey coming in. I cannot wait to see Jesse on the line with them. Not too many people speaking of that too much. I'm thinking a huge breakout season for him, and I think they should find a way to sign him up. I think he's big and strong. And anyways, the other thing I want to say is 49 years ago today, I'm not a very good announcer, but Henderson scores! 1972.
Anyway. You know what? That is a pretty good impression. And tell you what, we're going to, I believe we have the actual call here ready to go because that is something we were going to talk about.
Bernoye has it on that wing. Here's a shot. Henderson made a wild stab, Wharton fell. Here's another shot right by the door. Henderson has scored to Canada. Henderson right in front of the net.
Now, see, I was not born for that, Rob.
I remember watching that in the Evansburg bar.
as a four-year-old. It probably was on the TV at the Evansburg bar. Yeah, that was 49 years ago today, one of the most significant moments in Canadian hockey history. So, yeah, thanks for Robert for bringing that up. I mean, that's just something everybody knows about, and the stories of people watching it are incredible. Well, we'll play a clip later on. Gretzky was on with Bob today and talked about where he was watching the game. One of those, where were you moments if you were on the earth?
Well, it's neat. Everyone knows about it. It was a few years ago they did a movie on it I don't want to say it wrong, but it was on one of the Canadian channels. I think it was CBC or someone did it. And it was kind of neat. And there was a bunch of players left Russia. I think it was
some of the
French players. They weren't playing and they left and came home. And it was a neat story, just some of the background stuff. But yeah, one of the greatest Canadian sports stories was Paul Henderson's goal.
780-496-0063. Oilers win 6-0 over the Kraken. It is Justin on the line. Justin, thank you very much for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we're having a good time. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. I'm probably calling mostly to just say that I grew up near Toronto, and I've been a Leafs fan for over 40 years. That was all that was on TV on the weekend, was Saturday night, hockey night, always the Leafs game. And my kids, they're growing up near Edmonton. They're all Oilers fans. But after the last postseason they just had, and the fact that they let Hyman go, I'm going to convert to being an Oilers fan here finally. Mostly out of anger, I'm sure.
But Hyman is, and we've been talking about him a lot. Yeah, he's a popular player. I think he's easy for fans to like because he has skill and he finishes. But as we've talked about a dozen times already tonight, you notice him. He works hard. And Rob, I have a running gag on Inside Sports about players that my dear mother dislikes, and as you know, she's a very sweet human, but turns ferocious when it comes to sports. And She hated Zach Hyman. Like, she absolutely
hated Zach Hyman. I remember you talking about that before, that she does not like him.
But now she likes him.
It's amazing, though, how those players that you absolutely hate when they're on other teams, all of a sudden they put one of your jerseys on. That's my new favorite player. But that's the kind of player that you want on your team, someone that you hate playing against, but, oh, is he on your team? It's awesome. And I think that the Edmonton Oilers are a much better hockey club this season simply with the addition of Zach Hyman.
Well, that's what's so upsetting about it is that he is so much hurt and effort in every game. You know, you can have your star players and all that, but when you have someone who's putting that much, working that hard every game, and like a heart of the team, and then letting him go, which I didn't think needed to happen. So that's why, I don't know, that just kind of was like the last straw for me with the Leafs, I think.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling, Justin. You're welcome to chime in anytime.
No worry.
Actually,
have a good night.
Regardless of who you cheer for, you can call. Though obviously we get most of the Oilers fans. Appreciate it, buddy. 780-496-0063. Okay, the Oilers win 6-0. We got to take a quick time out here. You'll hear from Zach Hyman coming up after the break. Also, Brendan Perlini. Again, more time for your phone calls as well. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 CHED. Puljujärvi will track it down. Back in front, McDavid. Back door, tipped home. What a beautiful goal. You talk about an easy one. How about Zach Hyman's first as an Oiler? Yeah, a beauty by Zach Hyman. That made it 3-0 late in the first. Oilers beat the Kraken 6-0. Here is Zach Hyman.
It was awesome. I think, you know, Jesse was great too. But yeah, no, Connor, obviously, really good player. So you just got to go to the right spots for him. And he wants the puck, so it's good.
Is he the type of guy that you don't think he sees you, but then the puck's on your stick type thing?
I think he just creates so much space for himself that he can kind of find those angles, and he's such an elite passer that if you go to the right spots and you're open, he'll find you.
Yeah. You're no stranger to playing with really skilled players, I guess, but how does he kind of maybe differentiate from the guys you've played with before?
Yeah, I mean, it's only been one game, so it's kind of a harder question to answer, but... you know, I played against him a lot, and obviously his speed and his ability to generate offense whenever he gets the puck, when you know, it's a one-on-one situation, he can kind of beat a guy wide, and then all of a sudden it's a two-on-one, and create space for his line mates. So, it was fun to play with him tonight, and I think as we play more, we'll kind of figure out each other's tendencies and whatnot, but I thought it was a good start, and I thought Jesse was great, and he just hounds the puck, so it's great. It's fun to play with him, too.
Zach, it's a preseason game. You've been on the power play in practice, but what do you see? How is it going to fit in? Do you see subtle differences that you want to pick up that's going to allow you to fit in well on that power play?
Yeah, I think obviously those guys have been around together for a long time, and they have tons of chemistry. They know where each other are, and for me, when I'm out there, I'll be in front of that, obviously. So just creating space, trying to find the backside, being in front of the net when there's a screen, and kind of just bring my own element to the power play. And it's, you know, obviously it was fun tonight, and looking forward to it.
Everyone's always going to say it's only preseason. I understand that. But people talk about certain habits you want to get into. I'm giving up a goal in two games. And, you know, Edmonton, goal scoring really hasn't been an issue in the last few years. It's more so defending. What did you see maybe from your whole team as far as what's allowed you to not give up any goals?
Yeah, I think it starts with work ethic. Like, defense is all about working. You can put all the systems in place, but if you're not working, it's not gonna go well. So I think that in both games, I watched the first game, I thought we worked hard, and we didn't give the other team much, and obviously you have to have good goaltenders back there to make the save when things do break down, and they both played great tonight, so I think it's a great start, and just kind of implementing the structure and just working within it.
You talk about wanting to kind of forge some chemistry with Connor. Is that something that comes really easily with somebody that good, or are there so many subtle nuances that it will take a stretch before you're fully comfortable?
No, I mean, I think certain elements, obviously, just get open, and he'll find you, and he'll make the play, and try to get him the puck with speed. And I think it's just about, you know, when you play with somebody for an extended period of time, you kind of know exactly where they're going to be when you're in certain spots. And I think it's just kind of figuring that out, and it'll take time. But I thought that it was a good start, obviously, tonight, and look forward to continuing.
There was one shift there where you go in the corner, push a guy off the puck, set it to Connor, and then he fires it to Jesse in the slot. Is that kind of a microcosm of what that line's going to be?
I hope so. I think that that could be one element of a bunch of different things that we can do. And I think whether it's me or Jess or Connor, I think we all skate and can hunt the puck really well. And I think that that's something that Jesse's really good at. I think Connor's underrated at that, going in and getting the puck on the forecheck and turning it over and making a quick strike play. And Jess almost got a goal off that. And I think we had a couple other chances off the forecheck, I should say. So, yeah, it was good.
Zach, just here in the back, you've skated with both Connor and Jesse in the last few weeks, beginning with the captain skate. Tonight, getting in game action. What are some elements of Jesse's game that really stand out to you?
He's just a big, strong man. Like he can skate. Like he skates well. He thinks the game well, and he's really strong on the puck. So it's been fun getting to know his game. Everybody kind of knows what Connor can do when you play against him. You're always kind of focusing on him, but just to kind of see Jesse go and play and work, and it's fun to play with him too. So I thought as a line, I really enjoyed playing with those guys tonight.
I know it's just the preseason, but your first time tossing on the Oilers sweater, first impression, how nice was it to get on the board in the goal column?
Yeah, no, it was nice, obviously. I felt a part of this team pretty early on, so it's kind of been seamless for me. Almost the guys have been so good in welcoming me and really making me feel part of the team even before preseason and whatnot. So from that standpoint, it's been awesome, and that's a credit to the guys in the locker room and the group that we have, that they're very welcoming to new players and make you feel comfortable right away. And I think that's such a big part of hockey is being comfortable with the group and just working and trying to push each other every day. So it's been a really fun start, and obviously it's still preseason, and it's nice because in years past we haven't really had this preseason, so it's nice to get some game action, get your legs under you, and kind of learn new line mates, new players and things like that.
You play all of last season without fans in the building. Tonight you get a glimpse of what it's like to get back to some normalcy. Take us through what it was like to play in front of fans tonight.
No, it's awesome. I mean, the fans here are awesome. Atmosphere is great. I hope down the line we can get a full capacity rink. It'll be even better. But tonight was awesome. You can't put into words how much more fun it is to play hockey when you have a loud building and you have adamant, passionate fans who are there. And cheering for you last year, it was, the only time I had fans was against Montreal, and they're all booing you. So to have fans that are cheering for you and are excited and just bring atmosphere to the game and life, and just energizes you. So it was great.
All right, that is Zach Hyman rocking and rolling tonight as the Oilers take down the Seattle Kraken 6-0. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown inside the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center at Rogers Place, 780-496-0063. Michael is on the line. Michael, go ahead, sir.
Hey, I know I'm not an Oiler, but what did you think about Daryl's Connor McDavid's offense or Oilers as general?
Sorry, what did we think of Connor McDavid's offense tonight?
Yeah, or just the team overall.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, I think it was a great game for the Oilers. I mean, for the first game back at Rogers with fans in the stands, the Oilers dressed a full lineup, and they took full advantage of a Seattle team that didn't. The Oilers stars came to play. Connor McDavid, every time you watch him play, you don't think you can be impressed more than you were before the game started. But again, where some guys are trying to get the rust off, some guys are trying to find their hands, find their rhythm. To me, it looks as though he's in midseason form. It didn't look like he hadn't played in a few months in a National Hockey League hockey game. He's making plays. He's using his speed. He's creating things on the ice at times. It looked like he was toying with the Kraken when he had the puck in the offensive zone. And he had 3 points tonight. It would have been more had the Oilers been playing a regular season game, because there's a 5-on-3 that he didn't get to play on late in the hockey game. Connor McDavid had an unbelievable season last season. And I have a feeling that he wants to come out and say, all right, it wasn't just because I was playing in the Canadian division. Watch what I do again this year.
Well, that's the interesting thing. And McDavid gave that great soundbite when he came out and talked after one of the captain skates. He said the time is now, and the context was, you know, he's in his mid-20s. Leon Draisaitl's in his mid-20s. Darnell Nurse is in his mid-20s. Nuge is in his late 20s. This is Nuge's 11th year.
Which is
in
unbelievable.
The NHL. You know, they signed Derek Ryan, who's 34. Duncan Keith, who's 38. CeCe is, I forget his exact age, but he's in his late 20s. You know, Bouchard and McLeod will likely be the youngest players on the roster, and they're going to be both 22 by the end of November. Now, I don't want to sit here and say Stanley Cup, but I mean, this isn't like, oh, wait a couple years anymore. Like you said earlier, they should be a playoff team.
Yes.
I mean, they should be a playoff team, and then it's a matter of, and you got to get there first. Leon said that the other day. I mean, the first step of the journey takes the longest to resolve because it's a 6.5-month regular season to get there. But yeah, I mean, this isn't a team where you're sitting here for most of the guys saying, well, just wait 3 or 4 years and maybe. A lot of the guys are right there. And for McDavid, yeah, I mean, whether he gets the points per game that he did last year, I mean, he should be really going into his prime now, year 7 for him.
Which is kind of scary when you see what he's done thus far, that he's just starting to get to his good years, he and Leon. Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers have put together a team all in the prime of their career and signed them all long-term. This is a team that's got 3 or 4 years where both Leon and Connor are here together on these contracts. They've got the good support staff. They went out and got depth players. To me, the season and how far they go in the playoffs will hinge on their goaltending. And you can say that about any team, but this is a goaltending tandem that's a little bit older. If Mike Smith plays like he did last year, this team has a chance to make some noise. They just need, they're playing the right way. Obviously, what we've seen here through two exhibition games, they've got their defensive hats on. I think this is, every team that comes to training camp has the sound bites that, you know, we're starting fresh. We're looking forward to the season. There's optimism in the dressing room. We feel that we can be better. And they have the sound bites, but I don't know if they're truly every team has that belief. There's hope, but I'm not sure there's belief. The Edmonton Oilers, there's belief in that dressing room that they're a better team than and that they showed in the playoffs last year. This is a team that's got the two best players in the National Hockey League. They've gone out and gotten deeper up front. They went out and found a defenseman that has won Stanley Cups, that's won gold medals, that's won Norris trophies. So they've got a veteran presence on the back, and they're using him in their second pairing. So that's something that we haven't seen here in the past. The Oilers are, I don't think they're satisfied unless, well, in all honesty, Connor and Leon, I don't think they're satisfied this year unless they win the Stanley Cup. And that is a good thought process going into a season if your two best players feel that Stanley Cup is what your goal is and should be.
All right, 6-0, the Oilers take it tonight. Another interesting story is Brendan Perlini. He has 3 goals in 2 games. You'll hear from him in a couple of minutes on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Turris took a shot from Alexiak, got it ahead for Perlini. He's got a trailer. Devin Shore finds him. Shore back to Perlini. What timer score! What a beautiful goal! Perlini gets it right back from Devin Shore. And the two hook up for a goal that makes it 4-0. Oilers.
Oilers win 6-0 over Seattle. Brendan Perlini fires home 2. He also scored Sunday in Calgary. Here he is.
You want to make a good first impression. 3 goals in 2 games, kind of hard to top that. You got to be pretty happy with how it started for you.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was just looking to come in and play my style of game. And, you know, I said it a little bit already. I've, you know, had a relationship with Tip before in Arizona. So it's nice kind of coming in and knowing him and Jimmy, you know, how they coach. And so, yeah, it definitely makes it a little bit easier. And, yeah, I've been last couple games, you know, a good start. But, yeah, just focusing on each shift as it comes. I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but that's really all I do.
Having that relationship with Tip, I don't know, do you have a conversation? Does he just say, this is what I want from you, you know, don't worry about trying to do too much? How does that conversation go, and maybe what do you feel you need to do? Like, you had 3 pretty good years in the NHL, and you seem statistically as a guy who should be in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, we've had conversations. I think the thing with Tip for me, which is really great, is he's very black and white. You know, he tells it how it is, which I can respect a lot, and you always know where you stand, good or bad. So I respect him a ton. He helped me break into the league and gave me my first opportunity, and I'll always be grateful for that. And, you know, I'm grateful for this opportunity, too, to come here and try and, help the team and get in and show kind of what I'm all about.
Friday night, obviously 3 goals in 2 games has got to be really nice. but is it going to be what you do at your own end of the rink and being responsible defensively and things like that are going to eventually give you a spot in this lineup?
Yeah. Again, I think that's the thing. Like with Tip's teams, you know, he really wants guys playing that 200-foot game. And for me, I think that's the last thing, like, over the last year and a half or so since I've been out of the NHL that I've really kind of worked hard on, and stealing pucks and things like that, that I think I've added a whole nother dimension to my game. So, it's worked out decently well so far, and I just look to keep putting in good efforts and going forward.
Being good at your own end of the rink, does that take kind of your video, or how do you kind of improve your defensive side of the game?
Yeah, a bit of video. I mean, you know what? To be honest, I think a lot of it is timing and reps. And for me, I think it was a great thing getting to go to Swiss last year, because during the whole kind of COVID period, I really had time to assess with my dad and my family, with them all involved in hockey, my dad being former NHLer and stuff like that. We really assessed where I was at that point and what improvements I could make, what stuff I can get rid of and blah, blah, blah. And I think going to Swiss, I could kind of put all that stuff and see what worked, what didn't from my kind of experience during COVID. And, now after that, kind of coming here and trying to do the same thing here. So, yeah, to answer your question, though, sorry I was rambling on a little bit. But, so I think for me, just a lot more timing and trying things.
Hi, Brendan. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic. I'm just curious about a little bit more about that Switzerland experience. Was it, I mean, you obviously, I'm sure you want to be in the NHL, but was it nice to kind of clear your head a little bit and experience the things from a new perspective?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know what? I think if any year going over, that was, for me, it was a good year, just based off of how short the NHL season was and things like taxi squads and all that. And so for me, coming off the year in Detroit where we didn't have a great year and stuff, it was great to get over there, getting a new environment, very positive environment. And like I said, put a lot of things to the test. And really over there, I played, as much as I've ever played as far as minutes wise and stuff. So really kind of got the mojo back and got confidence. And so it was a great experience for sure.
I know you're a pretty worldly guy. I'm sure there are worse spots in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I lived in a good spot in the team put me in Lugano as well, which is about 45 minutes away. So great lifestyle over there. I mean, I don't have zero complaints about the country. Maybe a couple speeding tickets here and there that they could have raised the speed limit a little bit in certain areas, but apart from that, it was a great experience.
Watch out for radars here, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's, luckily, I don't have a car. I ain't driving around here, so.
I'm just curious about you've had the same two line mates for the last 2 games. What has that meant to you, and how has that helped maybe any kind of transition that you've had getting going here in Edmonton?
Yeah, no, it's great. Anytime you can, build a little bit of chemistry, I know it's even preseason and guys are kind of chopping and changing, but it just makes it a little bit easier playing wise, just kind of knowing where guys are on the ice and what spots they like to be, where they don't like to be. And obviously with Thuris and Shore, they're both experienced players, great NHLers. So it's a privilege to play with those guys, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and I just try and make the most out of it and let them play and get to the areas for them.
It's only been a couple of preseason games, but are things going as kind of smoothly hoped, or did you expect there would be a readjustment period?
You know what? I didn't have any expectation, good or bad. I just treat every day as an opportunity. You never know what comes about. So I think that is the thing with going over to Switzerland. You realize that every day is a great day in the NHL, and so I'm coming back with a lot of gratitude and humility towards just being around here every day and being around the top guys and competing. So sorry, I rambled on. What was your question there?
No, you were going pretty good, actually. Just on the adjustment, it's only been a couple of games.
Yeah,
the pretty seamless for you.
I don't think I really expected any. I really just taking it day by day, and you know, trying to do my best each and every day. And I, like I said earlier, I know that sounds very cliche, but you know, I'm not thinking too much in the past or the future. It's just trying to stay very present on this time.
Do you have to prove anything to yourself, or are you for sure thinking that you're back and you've always belonged in this league, and here you are?
Again, I mean, I'm not out here to prove anyone wrong or right or whatever. I'm just here to play hockey, and you know, I'm here to work my hardest every day for the coach and for the team, and whatever comes about. You know, I'm not out there to, like I said, you know, do all whatever and anything external. You know, I'm here focusing on what I can do to help everyone here and to get better every day.
That's Brendan Perlini helping himself with two more goals tonight as the Oilers pound the Seattle Kraken 6-0. You can get more on this game on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer is on from noon to 2 tomorrow. And then at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, we have the face-off show, the game at 6, as the Oilers get right back at it, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our studio game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer, back at 6:30 Chet. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. You've been listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line from the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. Oilers 6, Tentacle Team nothing. Have a good night.
6:30 Chet, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chet.